The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rockhill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. I fought with chronic mental and physical health issues for decades. I was 50 pounds heavier, taking over a dozen medications a day, and had little hope of a normal life. But by taking an integrative approach, I was able to turn my health around, and I believe many of us can too. So I'm on a big mission. I want to illuminate the healing potential within us all and the powerful impact that food, lifestyle, and mindset can play in our health. But there are so many different chronic illnesses out there, and one of them that I have is really a bear, and it's called Crohn's. And I'm very excited to have my friend Christian Henley. He's president of Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of Mid-America here on the show today. Welcome.
Hi, Amanda. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Okay, so as a fellow crony, it can put you through the ringer, right? These chronic illnesses. You've had a long, long health journey. When and how did it begin for you?
Yeah, so I was your typical Midwestern college kid going to the University of Missouri and living the life of a typical college student, and just developed some stomach pains that continued to get worse. Eventually did what everybody does. You call your mom, right? And talked me into going to the doctor. So in late 2001, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. Just previous to this, I had had three bouts with acute pancreatitis and some other things. So there was just a lot going on. Through that journey, tried countless medications and different things that just didn't end up working. So in 2005, I had a series of four surgeries over about a four-month period, spent 65 days in big barns, and had my entire colon removed, two corrective surgeries within that, and actually almost died twice. So through that whole ordeal, it reshifts your focus and has allowed me to want to give back with the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. And so it's definitely been part of my history. Through that, was later diagnosed with Crohn's. So I've been fighting the good fight since 2000, 2001. And now here we sit, thriving through all of this. And I'm lucky enough to be joined with this wonderful foundation.
Well, and so grateful for the work that you and the foundation are doing to bring awareness and to continue to fund research and try to find cures. And we'll talk a lot more about some of the initiatives here momentarily. Just to share a little bit with our listeners at home about my own health journey with Crohn's, I was 27 years old. From the time that I had my son at age 26, I noticed something was just off. Now, this wasn't the first autoimmune disease that I was diagnosed with. I have several, and I had been diagnosed with a few in my very, very early 20s. So I started having these just blinding pains and just lots of different symptoms, of course, that go along with what I now know as Crohn's. But I remember going in for the colonoscopy, which is just, terrifying in and of itself. I had never had any kind of procedure. And then now here I was in probably the most intimate and vulnerable procedure that I can imagine. And then sitting and getting the results with my GI afterward. And I said this in the post on Facebook. By the way, anyone listening on air, you can catch video of this interview and all of the others at facebook.com/getrealtoheal. But I was sitting there talking with my GI, who was a lovely, lovely man. He was just great. One of my favorite doctors, and I had many. But he looked at me and he said, "So I think you have Crohn's. You also have HLA-B27, which is a gnarly gene that basically makes me susceptible to things like ankylosing spondylitis and other issues as well." And he said, "You've just become very interesting to me, my friend." And I remember thinking, this is a wonderful man, but I do not want to be interesting to him. That was like the worst thing ever to hear.
Correct.
You know, and it just was one of those moments, though, where, you know, the other autoimmune diseases I had, you know, there was like a bladder condition, and I had been able to navigate that and get that into remission and get over it, you know, fairly well. And then, you know, now to sit with this, there's something about a bowel disease, right, that just is absolutely terrifying. And one that, you know, when you say the words incurable bowel disease, you know, how were you able to wrap your mind around your diagnosis?
It was very difficult for me, and it was a journey. When it all started, to your point, it's a very intimate subject. And so it started off with, hey, I don't really want to tell people why I'm going to the hospital or why I need to have these procedures or why I feel bad. You know, and now I've grown past that because, quite frankly, I think that most people start off that way or maybe even continue that way. But I had to wrap my brain around, hey, you know what? If I can get past this and I see this big mountain ahead of me, well, you have two choices. You can cower to the mountain or you can start the climb. And I started the climb and just said, I'm going to take this head on. And I think what most people figure out is that that mountain can become more of a speed bump if you just have the fortitude to take the first steps and start going up that mountain. But, you know, there's 3.1 million Americans that are diagnosed with irritable bowel disease. It's the largest growing segment of the patient population is now under 18 years old. So, you know, as it's been pronounced in my life, I feel convicted now with four children to make sure that we're taking the steps and making sure that we're looking for a cure. Not just solutions or things that make you feel better, but the foundation is on a mission, and that mission is for a cure.
What? So we're on a mission for a cure. What do we think a cure looks like? Is it multifaceted? Is it medication? Is it lifestyle? I know that, you know, from what I've read, the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation is really opening up their search into diet and environment and other factors.
Absolutely. And, you know, since the founding of the organization in 1967, it's played a very critical role with and major breakthrough with IBD research. They've invested more than $384 million into finding causes, treatments, and cures. To your point, you know, one of the recent studies is comparing the impact of the Mediterranean diet to specific carbohydrate diets. We're looking at the impact of stress and environmental factors. And so when you think about that, even here in the St. Louis area, so last year, pre-pandemic and everybody's back to normal, right, which seems like a lifetime ago, you know, there was $24 million raised just last year for different grants and studies, and every major drug that's come out has had impact received from the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. Well, about 9 million of that 24 million comes right back to here in St. Louis. And so they are looking at all these various ways to treat the disease, right? Then you get into medications. We look into surgical procedures and how we can improve those. You know, the best example I can give you is, you know, in my 20 years in being impacted with this disease, you know, it started off with, hey, we're going to go down this drug regimen. Hey, if this doesn't work, we'll try something else. If this doesn't work, we'll try something else. And throughout that process, you continue to have more procedures, more surgeries, more retractions, and all these things that truly impact your life. Well, now with children, they have the ability to look at the mesothelial cells and the genetic makeup of each individual person, and they can say, hey, we know, Mr. Henley, because of what worked for your body and your blood type and your genotype, that your kids are going to be better served by taking this specific drug versus going through a regimen that may or may not work. Well, think of the miles of intestines that get saved from surgical procedures and the belly aches and all the things that people go through that can be saved just by being able to skip those steps based on your genetic makeup. And I think the future is looking at things that they're doing with putting, and this goes above my pay grade, right? But when you think about your DNA and using a CRISPR to figure out which ones overlap with a normal person versus someone who has IBD, and they've identified, I think it's 29 specific genotypes that are very specific to Crohn's and or colitis. So if you look at the pace of which this research is helping people, that could be everything you mentioned. It could be a new procedure. It could be a new drug, or it could be a cure. Everything down to the epithelial cells here in St. Louis, where I've been in the labs, I look at the mice, I look at what they're doing, and it's truly amazing. And right here in St. Louis, to know that they're looking at how can we replace the cells within your stomach intestinal lining that are simply to help you, you know, have less lesions, have less inflammation. And so I think the research is the key piece, but we don't know exactly where it's going, but it can help in multiple areas.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing. You know, we really are on the forefront here in St. Louis. We're so blessed to have so many institutions that are really pushing the boundaries and pushing things forward in terms of medication, procedures, diagnostics, laboratory sciences, everything. It's phenomenal. You know, and I want to make sure that we touch on, though, you know, what are some of the, you know, just stress management, dietary, you know, like what are some of the simpler things that people can do to just empower themselves right now? I know there are a few things that really come to mind for me. What are some of the simple tools and things that you put into play in your life?
So I think that when it first started out, it was, hey, if you try something and it bothers your belly, then don't eat that again, right? And I think most of the dietary guidelines that people use are for those with a normal digestive system. For example, if I'm missing my entire large intestine, well, that's a shortened digestive tract. So when they say eat fruits and vegetables and some of the other things, well, how does that relate to me when I don't have the highway to break that down, right?
Absolutely.
And so you do learn things over the years. And I think that when you do have groups, you know, there's social groups that the foundation allows people to just connect. We're working with, you know, younger groups of people and a young professionals group. We've got a group for kids, with Camp Oasis down in Potosi, Missouri, where, you know, about 80 kids a year get to go and just be kids and ride horses and go down zip lines so that they can just be kids. But I think that, you know, what works for one person may not always work for another. So I think that's why the foundation is really turning to, you know, environmental stressors and those things. So for me personally, that journey has not just been trial and error, but I think it's sharing that information with others for what works with you, what drugs particularly may work with you. But there's also some common sense in there as well. I'm a big believer in that what you put into your body has a dramatic effect on how your body breaks that down. You know, you can see that as evidenced by the Western lifestyle and why we have such a pronounced issue of obesity and diabetes and all these other things that maybe 50 years ago just weren't that big of a deal. And it's in the food that we eat. And I think this goes down to a whole nother area of lobbyists and the things that we put in our food. But on a much, you know, grander scale, I think it's the personal onus of each and individual person and their families to take your diet into your own hands, right? You can go to the grocery store and you don't need the government to tell you what's healthy and what's not. You know that certain things are not healthy. So regardless of a carnivore diet or the paleo diet or a Mediterranean diet, I think it's just, look, more fruits, more vegetables, and eating right and eating healthy. There's a lot of cases where a gluten-free diet helps, right? If you go into our pantry here at home, the kids can pick up anything that's gluten-free and it's healthy, and we made only healthy snacks available. The downside is, sure, it costs a little bit more, but on the backside of that, what happens if we're not making those trips to the doctor because we are eating more healthy? So what came first, the chicken or the egg? And I think that, you know, it's up to each of us to do our own in eating healthy and following those guidelines. But I also think that the foundation is here to say, hey, we totally get that. We're researching that. We don't know the clear answers to that. But I think that at the very least, yeah, pay attention to what you're feeding yourself, because it absolutely has an impact on how your body responds to that.
And I love that. I love that you touched on that. And I think it's about really empowering yourself to make, you know, the best choice that you can. And get away from the marketing tactics of big food out there. Just really get down to eating real food, taking care of your body, doing self-care. Real food. Start there. Real whole food. Eat that. That's a good place to start. That definitely changed my life. And going gluten-free really made a big impact for me in my Crohn's.
Right. And there's economic ways to do it, right? I have visited every doctor and every traditional medicine, naturopathic, over the last 20 years. I've got a log of just everything that everybody's ever told me. And I think there's a little piece from all of that that you can take away. I remember one of the diets that I tried, when you start looking at a Whole30 diet or a gluten-free diet, you know, those are very, very impactful. They can be hard at first, but I think it's just about what you surround yourself by. If you can go to the cabinet and find good things and good choices, then you're going to make good choices. If you go to the cabinet and there's bad choices, you're probably going to cheat and want to make bad choices. But from that standpoint, you know, one of the doctors said, hey, try eating white rice for 3 straight days and you don't put anything with it and you can have as much of it as you want. And then introduce chicken or introduce butter or introduce certain things in that diet and continue to build it out over time. And guess what? If you eat it and you're still functioning properly and it doesn't hurt, you can add to that diet. So yes, that's an arduous process, but rice is inexpensive and it's also cheap for you to figure out, hey, if I just do this stepwise approach, it is kind of that, you know, Arcanian, you know, hey, I tried it, it hurts, then don't try that again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's interesting, you know, in Chinese medicine, they use rice medicinally for many different ailments, especially whenever it comes to the digestive system. But there are a lot of Western medicine practitioners that are now getting into integrative medicine, and they're saying, no grains at all. Don't have grains. And it really is that bio-individual perspective, right? Where it's like, you know, for you, white rice and then adding a few things in slowly, you can really figure out what it is that's working for your system and what's not. For me, I'm not able to eat rice. Like very, very, very seldomly can I really do any grains. And that boggles my mind, right? But it's that bio-individual factor that then you've got people like the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation and their partners that are really digging in and trying to figure things out one step at a time in terms of, you know, what is it about my microbiome, my genomics, whatever, that is causing me to be able to have certain things and you know, versus what you can have. It's really fascinating when you get into it.
Well, to tie into that, what I think is also fascinating is, of course, being part of this great organization, you know, we have the ability to attend, you know, different meetings where we're hearing the updates of what they're working on. In the last President's Summit that was attended here in early March, they were looking at, in addition to environmental factors, why is it that someone who lives in Africa cannot have any irritable bowel diseases or any issues, and then they move to a Western culture, they suscept themselves to a Western diet, and now all of a sudden they've got a issue with it with their kids because of this new Western diet? And then what's even more interesting is if they go back to, say, Africa or wherever they're from, where maybe the diet is different, they can actually go back to a level of health that wasn't experienced before. So for a great example of that is when my family took a trip over to Europe and we're in, you know, France and Belgium and some truly amazing places, you don't have to worry about the grains over there because they don't have the same makeup that we do over here. So, you know, gluten-free. Well, it's just something that we put into our food to make the stalks of the grains more stiff so that you can get a higher yield and feed this country. And I get that. And it's great to have science and engineering that allows us to, you know, have more food and better food. But, you know, at what point is there a cost to that? And somehow now the medically, you know, modified foods, they don't have the same, you know, makeup necessarily. And so I'm not going to get into, well, look, it helps or hurts. I'm just saying, could it be that a subset of the population that eats these foods has a different reaction to it than others? And if you're trying to feed the world, it's a lot like a doctor who says, hey, I can treat 95% of my patients and not have any issues. But man, there's this, you know, small subset of patients that continues to have issues. Well, we're going to send them to a specialist. Well, guess what? Well, then maybe I'm the subset of the population that needs to be gluten-free for this certain illness. And it doesn't make all the food bad. It just means that with my genetic makeup, if I eat gluten or if I eat certain things, that it impacts my health. So I think as much as we look at food, it's also just as interesting to think about, well, where we live matters. And so it even goes into the Western food and the Western lifestyle that I think, yes, Crohn's and colitis is a huge piece of that, but it also impacts all the other disease sets that we've talked about previously.
Oh, 100%. I see that clinically all the time. Well, I want to make sure that we get into some of the awesome things that Crohn's and Colitis Foundation has coming up. You know, for one thing, I want to touch on the fact that you're doing some webinars and some great things to help support people during the COVID-19 pandemic. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Absolutely. So one of the most amazing things that's going on right now is with this COVID-19, and everybody's, you know, living at home and it's becoming this new normal. Could you imagine that as a foundation, we give away everything that we raise? So whenever your funding gets cut like this, we can't fund the grants and the processes for treatments and all these things. However, the website traffic is up a staggering 1,200%. So when you add that type of volume to what we're trying to do here, it's truly amazing that now the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation needs to step up and be part of this. So since we've seen this dramatic increase, we've got, you know, Facebook's Take Steps virtual events coming up. So on Saturday, June 20th, look a little bit different, but it's going to be bringing the entire IBD community together from across the country, and so that patients and caregivers alike feel well supported and inspired by the organization. And so you can check this out at cctakesteps.org/St. Louis, because we definitely have good radio programs like this one. We're going to have Facebook Live events where you can actually interact with the doctors, either specific to pediatrics or specific to diet and those things. What's the impact of medical marijuana on Crohn's and colitis? And so, you know, when you're looking for information and you can't go see your doctor, hard to believe that, you know, maybe there's half the practices in St. Louis who don't have any literature or do not send their patients to the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. So much of this is just getting the name out there so that patients have a place to go. They know where they can get support. And think about this. We need supplies right now. If your income's hurting, what about ostomy bags? What about all these different supplies that people will need to get? And so if you want to go to donate or to follow my Take Steps team this year, all the money that comes in is pure profit for the organization. So again, you can go to cctakesteps.org/St. Louis, or you can also go to tinyurl.com/semicolon STL. So my name is the semicolons because I don't have a colon.
I love it.
So again, that's tinyurl.com/semicolon STL. If you'd like to learn more about the organization, learn ways you can start a team or support. But if anything else, guys, I would want to make sure that your doctors know that we exist, that other people we know exist, because if there's 1,200% increase in people wanting to know about us, they've got to know about these amazing things that we're doing and ways that they can join and support the cause as well.
Well, and I am proud to join Team Semicolon. I can't wait to participate with you. Thank you so much for all that you do and for all that Crohn's and Colitis Foundation is doing. Want to also, we are at just about time here, but I want to make sure that we give a shout out about Virtual Camp Oasis, the program that you have coming up. It'll be free and include activities all summer long. You can visit Crohn'sColitisFoundation.org for more information about that. That is the camp that's exclusively for children with IBD that started over 15 years ago. Is that correct?
It is, and I can't tell you enough that with the largest segment of the patient population being diagnosed with Crohn's and colitis being under 18, can you imagine being 7 or 8 years old, being diagnosed with this, and now your friends don't understand it? You really just want to go in a cave, right?
Just heartbreaking. Chris, unfortunately, we're at time, but you know what? I'd love to have you back on again. Thank you so much for being on today. Christian Henley, President of Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of Mid-America. I am Amanda LaPlante. Thank you for listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH 92.9 FM. If you were recently diagnosed with a chronic condition, I can empathize. I've been there. It can be overwhelming, and health coaching can help. Reach out to me for a free consultation at AmandaLaPlante.com or 314-583-6749. Let's navigate this together. I'm here to be a guide on the side. And if you'd like to check out this and other episodes, soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal. Make it a great day.